Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and today it is just me, as none of my co-hosts can make it once again, but that is okay. We are going to hold down the fort here. We have plenty to talk about on a crazy week, the week right before Thanksgiving. Let's get right into it. Thursday night Raw, for you WWE fans out there, an absolute melee broke out in Cleveland, where the Browns ended up winning 21-7. We will get to the football side of it in a moment. But obviously, with 8 seconds left in the game, the Steelers, for some reason, run a play, by the way. Just run a play where Myles Garrett tackles Rudolph to the ground. Rudolph probably got it a second, as I'm watching the video right here, a second off between him throwing the football and Myles Garrett tackling him. Obviously, suspensions were dueled out due to the brawl. We will dissect every single angle. Myles Garrett, he's currently appealing his indefinite suspension right now. Marquise Pouncey has a 3-game suspension. Larry Ogunjobi has a 1-game suspension. Mason Rudolph likely will get fined. Now, we'll take it from every single angle. We're going to try to narrate this as best possible as I can. So, as soon as Myles Garrett took Mason Rudolph to the ground, Garrett, it could have been a little late. Rudolph was having a frustrating afternoon. But Rudolph, he takes his helmet, or tries to yank off Myles Garrett's helmet, first grabbing his helmet, two hands on the back of his head. Then he does his best to yank it off of Myles Garrett's head. I have the video right in front of me. He is unsuccessful in doing so. Then Myles Garrett gets angry at Mason Rudolph, and he tries to yank Mason Rudolph's helmet. As he is trying to yank off Mason Rudolph's helmet, Mason Rudolph gives a nice kick to the groin to Myles Garrett in the not-so-fun area. That's how I should say it here on Benchwarmers Redemption. And then, after that kick to the groin, Myles Garrett is successful in yanking off his helmet. Now, Mason Rudolph, once he has his helmet taken off, is super angry, charges at Myles Garrett, upset, has a face ready to take you down, ready to kill you, pretty much. Charges Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett, with Mason Rudolph's helmet in his right hand, then takes a swing at Mason Rudolph's head with the helmet. Rudolph, obviously going, "What the heck was that?" goes to the referee like, "Excuse me, how's that allowed?" Marquise Pouncey then shows up and starts throwing punches and kicking Myles Garrett as Larry Ogunjobi, as Rudolph is just standing there now, shoves Rudolph to the ground. Now, obviously, a lot of things to dissect here. It was not even just a sports story. It's really a national story. It's on every single platform on Friday, or unless you're a Saturday Night Live fan, as we have some here who work for us here at Howard Community College. That was the opening skit on Saturday Night Live. But the thing is, Myles Garrett, there is no excuse for what Myles Garrett did. I think anyone with a brain knows that what Myles Garrett did was completely unacceptable, and he should be punished. I would have gave him 4 games, but I wouldn't complain if he sat the season out. I wouldn't complain if he got 6. I would have given him 4, personally. I think the indefinite suspension, obviously, that will be reduced because you cannot, according to the collective bargaining agreement of the National Football League, suspend a player indefinitely for an on-the-field football act. So Myles Garrett, by the way, who is in the appeals process right now, if something breaks about that appeal during our show, we will break that news to you as soon as we get it. It is right now 11:23 p.m. a.m. Eastern Time, pardon me. So if we get that as we are recording this, so if we get news on that, we will break that to you. But Myles Garrett, with the swing of the helmet, an extremely dangerous play, could have, imagine if he hit him on the crown of the helmet, could have cracked Rudolph's head open. Extremely dangerous play, not allowed on the football field, as it should not be. Myles Garrett, he should be suspended a lot of games. I say 4. I wouldn't mind seeing if he got 6. I'm okay with that. I think 6 is the top, though. Sit out the season and whatnot. I think Marquise Pouncey kind of got a little too much of a suspension, too, along with Myles Garrett. I would like to see Marquise Pouncey get 2 games for the kicking and the punching. Obviously, you can't do that. So I would like to see him get 2 instead of 3. So we'll see if that appeal goes down. I would like to see Ogunjobi get a fine, but I'm fine seeing him get a suspension. I'm fine with that, as obviously the shoving the Rudolph could reinstigate something. So I could see the NFL's point in this. Now, where I completely disagree with the NFL is Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph obviously is not going to get a suspension. It's made clear by the NFL he will not. That is ridiculous. It is ridiculous because Mason Rudolph started the whole thing. Now, whenever I tell people this, they automatically presume I am defending Myles Garrett. I am not defending Myles Garrett any way. What Myles Garrett did was unacceptable. However, Mason Rudolph, he started the whole thing by yanking Garrett's helmet as soon as he got tackled to the ground. He was obviously frustrated by his awful performance, awful Thursday night. He yanked Garrett's helmet off, backside of the helmet. He then grabbed his face mask as well, trying to pull it off. He is unsuccessful in doing so because he is not strong enough to pull off Myles Garrett's helmet. Let's be real. We're going to call it how it is here on the Benchwarmers Redemption. Then Myles Garrett tries to do the same thing to Mason Rudolph, is successful in doing so as Rudolph gives him a nice kick to the groin. And then Rudolph charges him. I'm looking at a picture right now of Mason Rudolph. I wish we could show this to you in some way. Obviously, we can as a radio station. But I'm looking at a picture right now. It's of Garrett holding Rudolph's helmet in his right hand. Rudolph, it's to the left of the picture. You guys have seen it, I'm sure, already. And he has the face of, I'm ready to throw a punch. I'm ready to attack you. Does that look like a victim face to you? Does that look like a victim face to you? Does that look like a face where the NFL's like, oh, you know what? You should get no games. Really? Really? I mean, come on. It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. So the guy who starts the fight, I'm not saying he should get like 4 games. I would suspend him probably 2. 1 or 2. I would have done 2. I would have done Garrett got 4, Pouncey and Rudolph got 2 each. But you're telling me the guy who started the fight is going to get nothing. Is going to get absolutely nothing. He is free of punishment except fines. Fines. Which matters so much to an NFL player, by the way, making millions of dollars. But Rudolph's on a rookie contract. Oh, he'll get paid. He's a quarterback. It won't matter. Fines don't matter in the National Football League, especially if you play the quarterback position. They just don't. Rudolph got off extremely lucky. And Rudolph, I just got a quote from Mason Rudolph. This was 2 minutes ago. Mason Rudolph says he should have done a better job of keeping his composure. He said behavior didn't rise to a standard set by the NFL. So I will give Mason Rudolph credit. I will give Mason Rudolph credit for that quote. good job for Mason Rudolph giving that quote, owning up to his actions. Now, I also think it's still ridiculous that he hasn't been suspended yet. Where is the suspension for Mason Rudolph? It is really, it's really mystifying to me that the person who starts the fight, he's an antagonist in the fight. There's no protagonist in this story. It's all antagonists. Maybe the protagonist actually is David DeCastro. David DeCastro is probably the protagonist in this fight, in this story. And then you have Garrett, antagonist. Pouncey, antagonist. Rudolph, antagonist. Ogunjobi, antagonist. So Rudolph, who starts the whole thing, gets nothing. It's embarrassing. It made me think of a lot of things. It really made me think of a lot of things in this situation. Because, let's say this. If that was Cam Newton, Baker Mayfield, any quarterback that really creates controversy, Lamar Jackson. If it wasn't a good citizen, supposedly to say, Mason Rudolph, before this incident, portrayed off as a nice kid. If it wasn't a so-called good citizen, would Mason Rudolph or would that quarterback have gotten suspended? I say yes. If Pittsburgh wasn't down to their backup quarterback, if that was Ben Roethlisberger, would Ben Roethlisberger have been suspended? I say absolutely yes. But because Mason Rudolph is a nice citizen, he gets nothing. He gets absolutely nothing. He gets a fine. Fines that will probably total around $300,000, which are nothing, especially to a quarterback. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the NFL. We'll see how Garrett's suspension holds out, what the appeal will come down to. But it's absolutely embarrassing that Mason Rudolph will not be punished in this situation. And it sets a bad example, in my opinion, for the National Football League. It sets an extremely bad example that someone who can start a fight doesn't get punished. Now, Myles Garrett didn't swing the helmet. We're not even talking about this. So, Myles Garrett deserves to be punished. He deserves to get the most games out of anybody. No doubt about it. But for Mason Rudolph to not get a game is downright unacceptable. Moving on to the actual football in this game. It was a really well-played game by the Browns' defense. The Browns' defense was absolutely incredible in this one. They had four interceptions, which is really remarkable for the Browns' defense. That's the first time that's obviously happened to the Browns in a while. It's the first time the Browns' defense has had four interceptions since week one of 2012. That is amazing. Now, that is really amazing to me. That surprises me. That really surprises me. That's a putrid history of the Cleveland Browns right there. That is the putrid history of the Cleveland Browns. It really is something. But they played well. They played extremely well in this one. Mason Rudolph looked horrible. Let's call it as is. Now, granted, you had a lot of injuries. James Conner going down. Juju Smith-Schuster going down with a concussion, along with Deontay Johnson. Demaryius Randle ejected for that hit. I would agree with that. If you want safety in the game, that hit can't be tolerated. I know Randle wasn't really intentional trying to hit him on purpose with that, but you still got to hold everyone accountable. And doing so would mean you got to eject Demaryius Randle. But Mason Rudolph threw for 221 yards, a touchdown, and four interceptions. The Steelers could not get the ground game going at all. I mean, you had Samuels, who rushed it five times for 26 yards, but then Trey Edmonds couldn't get anything going. Connor, before he went down, couldn't get anything going whatsoever. It was just a rough game. The Steelers' defense did their absolute best to keep them in the game. They played well. It forced a lot of frustrating drives for the Browns in the second half. Game was definitely closer than it should have been, but the Browns ended up pulling it out. Now, Kareem Hunt for the Cleveland Browns has been absolutely spectacular. He has opened up the offense in so many ways for the Cleveland Browns, and it is going to help them so much down the stretch to have Kareem Hunt. And Nick Chubb continues to do his thing. Odell had a nice solid game. He's getting better. He had 10 targets, got to continue to target Odell. Jarvis played well, had a touchdown. Kadarius Hodge showed out, getting a nice long catch. Steven Carlson with a great catch in the end zone for a touchdown. And then Joe Schobert, in my opinion, the MVP of the game with his two interceptions, just absolutely dominating the Pittsburgh offense. He has been phenomenal all year, and the Browns pulled it out. Now, their schedule, can they get to the playoffs and get that wild card? I say no, but they have played well these last two games. Miami comes to town next week. That should be a win, but the Browns, nothing is guaranteed with the Cleveland Browns, as we know. But the Steelers' side of it, crushing loss, ended their division hopes. Baltimore's running away with the AFC North. And for the wild card, it's going to be interesting. They got an easy schedule, too, coming up. But I don't think they can get to the playoffs with Mason Rudolph at quarterback. I just don't believe they can. It's not enough offense. If I were the Steelers, I would make the switch to Devlin Hodges. Devlin Hodges played extremely well when he came in for Rudolph in the Baltimore game and then versus the Chargers. So Devlin Hodges, it seems like they have a nice belief with Devlin Hodges as well. He played well at Samford too, setting records, FCS records. I would give Devlin Hodges a shot here. I think you've seen Rudolph. He's not the answer. It's time to move on and give Devlin Hodges his chance. Moving on to those pesky Ravens, who have now won four straight games by 14 or more points, absolutely obliterating the Texans 41-7. Before we get into this game, I made a note last show on Lamar Jackson that, in criticizing him, that he played the Steelers without Minkah Fitzpatrick. That was not correct. That was with Minkah Fitzpatrick. So I wanted to correct my error on that. I want to apologize for that error I made. Now, the game changed in this one early on in the first quarter. Fourth down and four. The Houston Texans go for it. Risky call by Bill O'Brien. Dials up a beautiful play, though. An absolutely beautiful play. And a throw by Watson going into the end zone. Hopkins gets there, and he is tackled, pretty much tackled by Marlon Humphrey. No call. Bill O'Brien challenges the play. He challenges the play for pass interference. A clear and obvious pass interference. And they don't overturn the call. NFL officiating. They just set new lows. What's the point of having the pass interference rule? This was what the pass interference rule was supposed to correct. I was a huge advocate for having the pass interference rule. But if it can't correct a simple call, why do we have it? I mean, it's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. that a call that obvious and they say, oh, call stands? It's really an embarrassment for the National Football League. It changed the game, in my opinion. Completely changed the game. I don't know if the Ravens certainly would have won 41-7. Who knows what the outcome of the game would have been. But it changed the game. It completely changed the game. The Texans were obviously upset by that and couldn't get over that. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. It's embarrassing for the National Football League officiating. It really is. Alex Kemp and his crew should be ashamed of themselves. Whoever was that judge by the end zone who didn't call that should be fired. He should be fired. We need to start holding NFL officials accountable. Players, and the worst part is players can't say it or coaches can't say it. So they get fined. So it's time for the media to hold them accountable. Call it like it is. We need to hold officials accountable because that is unacceptable. What are the NFL going to do to the media for criticizing? They can't do anything. They can't find you. They can't find me for criticizing them, so I'm going to criticize them all I want because it's right. Because they're costing people games. And they're costing people potentially jobs. They're costing teams playoff positioning. It's embarrassing. It's downright embarrassing. So the Houston Texans have been screwed by NFL officiating. The New Orleans Saints last year, screwed by NFL officiating. The Cleveland Browns, week 6 versus Seattle, screwed by NFL officiating. The Detroit Lions, Monday Night Football, screwed by the NFL over officiating. When is this going to stop? Who's going to be next? Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay against Tennessee, screwed by NFL officiating. They've changed games. They've changed the outcomes of seasons. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They cost people jobs. They cost people playoff positioning. They determine the outcome of games. And then when NFL players and coaches and owners say that, they get fined for telling the truth. You tell me, is that okay? You tell me if that's okay. It changed the outcome of the game completely. 41-7. Must have been a miserable 3 hours for Houston. And it's disgraceful. It's really disgraceful. And it's disgusting. That NFL officiating continues to be the story. But hey, that's the NFL for you. Al Riveron, he needs to be fired immediately as well. Al Riveron, who's in charge of replays in New York, ever since he's taken over the replay center, he's been a clown. He's been a clown as a referee, too. He's an absolute lunatic, Al Riveron. They should hire Dean Blandino back immediately. Or even better, get my boy Terry McCauley up in there. Get a referee who knows what the hell they're doing to get these replay calls right. Get John Perry, who works for ESPN, up in the replay booth. John Perry knows what he's doing. Terry McCauley, having met with him and talked with him before, knows what he's doing. Terry McCauley is a fabulous official. He's a local Howard County guy, actually. Get him up in the replay booth. Get Dean Blandino or John Perry or McCauley back in the replay booth. Get someone who knows what the hell they're doing up in the replay booth. Lamar, MVP favorite, all this hoopla, still can't throw for over 300 yards. Hasn't done it since week one against Miami. This MVP talk's real. It's really obnoxious. And Lamar Jackson, I'm just going to say this about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, his passing numbers are exactly the same as Tyrod Taylor's when the Taylor had his nice little season in Buffalo. This was in the 2015 season, 2015 to 2016. We look at these games. The first 16 games of Tyrod Taylor with the Bills and Lamar Jackson with the Ravens. They have the same exact completion. They both are 62% completion percentage. Lamar Jackson has a higher completion percentage by .16. Tyrod Taylor has thrown for 217 more yards. He's thrown for two more touchdowns. They've thrown the same amount of interceptions. Tyrod Taylor has a higher quarterback rating. He has taken more sacks than Lamar Jackson. Tyrod Taylor averages 258 passing yards a game, 7.69 yards per attempt. Lamar Jackson averages 154 passing yards per game, 7.63 yards per attempt. Really? But he's the MVP. Stop the talk. Stop the nonsense. I get we like news stories in the media. I get it. I get it. But we need to call it as it is. Russell Wilson is the MVP of football. It is not a debate. The fact that Lamar Jackson is the MVP favorite, if Lamar Jackson gets the MVP, I mean, I don't even know what I'm going to do. You just got to laugh. You just got to laugh sometimes. So, Lamar Jackson, the guy who can't throw for 300 yards to save his life, all he does is run. Let's call it like it is. I still don't think he can throw the football. He hasn't proven it. He hasn't proven he can throw the football. What has Lamar Jackson done to prove, oh, I can throw the football? He hasn't proven anything. He's proven he can run the football. He's proven to be like as fast and athletic as Michael Vick running the football. Lamar Jackson threw for 222 yards. 222 yards. That's against Houston. So special. That's so special. I mean, give our pom-poms up. Give him the MVP already. Just give him the MVP right now. Who cares about the end of the season? Just give him the MVP. All you got to do is throw for 222 yards, 223 yards versus the Bengals, a 163 versus the Patriots, or 143 versus Seattle, or 236 versus the Bengals, 161 versus the Steelers. Really? Really? Are we serious? Come on, man. It's embarrassing. This is embarrassing. So we don't, I guess quarterbacks don't have to throw anymore. They don't have to throw anymore. They don't have to throw anymore. Lamar Jackson doesn't even average 200 yards per game throwing the football. Oh, but he rushes the football. Yeah, that's all he can do. He can't throw the football. This gimmicky act that Lamar Jackson does, he's not going to be able to do this for 10 years. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. No way, no how. If you disagree, hit us up on the Dragon Digital Radio Twitter page when we put our show up, and we will listen to your comments. And you even try to get them on the show here. But we will see if our listeners are as blasphemous as the NFL media trying to make Lamar Jackson MVP. Moving on. And I love our listeners, by the way. I love our listeners. Thank you for continuing to tune in. But that doesn't mean you guys are perfect once in a while. Nor am I. But this Lamar Jackson talk is way over the top. Carolina. How about those Panthers getting smoked 29-3 by the Falcons? The Falcons now have four straight wins versus the Panthers, and they won seven of the last eight. Do the Panthers really think Kyle Allen is the answer? Maybe they should think about going back to Cam Newton. Maybe. It might be a good idea. Or maybe if not Cam Newton, not Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen has been brutal. He was 31 for 50, 325 yards, zero touchdowns, four interceptions against the Falcons defense. Ouch. Doesn't get worse than that. Lamar Jackson is a better throw of the football than Kyle Allen is, if we're calling it like it is. Kyle Allen, he was turnover free for two games before San Francisco, and then he just can't stop turning the football over. He just can't stop. He's had a brutal stretch of games. he's not the answer for the Panthers at quarterback. Maybe they don't think Cam Newton is, and that's fine. But I can promise you it's not Kyle Allen. Christian McCaffrey continues to just carry the Carolina Panthers. Although he didn't have the best of games by his standards, I think he'd want to do more than all these yards. I mean, he had 191 total yard scrimmage yards, which is good. But McCaffrey, no touchdowns. I'm sure he'd want to get in the end zone once in a while. But hard to do so with Kyle Allen. He continues to carry that Carolina Panthers offense. He's probably going to be Offensive Player of the Year. He's been great. DJ Moore had a solid game, local Maryland guy. But the Panthers are not for real. Their season, in my opinion, is over after losing to the Falcons. Off to Detroit, where Dak Prescott got win number 38 in his career. His 38 wins since 2016 only trails Tom Brady, by the way, for quarterbacks in the National Football League, as the Cowboys win 35-27. The Cowboys' defense is getting lit up. They allowed 27 points to a backup quarterback in Jeff Driscoll. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. For sure. It concerns me. Dallas can only beat the bad teams. They haven't beaten a good team. That's what their track record says. They almost lost this one to Detroit. They're trying their hardest to lose this one to Detroit. But Detroit, being the dumpster fire that they are, with one of the worst head coaches in the National Football League in Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia going for two, by the way, up 35-27. It's just Matt Patricia. That's so Matt Patricia. Poor Lions fans. I can relate to Lions fans as a Browns fan. I'm sorry that you have to deal with this, Lions fans. Clown's gonna clown, man. Matt Patricia's a clown. No doubt about it. And they're committed to Matt Patricia. They're not going to fire him. They are committed 100% with Matt Patricia. Which is mind-blowing to me. I would fire him, but it is what it is. Detroit, they're a dumpster fire right now with no Stafford. No running game at all right now with no carry-on. Ty Johnson. Bo Scarborough was the starting running back for Detroit. It's rough in Detroit. I actually think they might lose to the Redskins next week. I really do. I think the Redskins might get win number two. I think Detroit's going to be far-fetched to win another game this year. It's looking rough in Motown. Moving on to another game that had plenty of storylines in Jacksonville, but the Colts took down the Jaguars 33-13. The Colts with 264 rushing yards is their most since week 11 of 2004. The Jaguars defense absolutely could not stop the run. Jaguars fans, including our own Jimmy Steetman here, are upset because they took out Minshew for Nick Foles. I was a proponent that you should have done that. Nick Foles, however, did not look too good in that offense. And the Jaguars are now stuck. They're now stuck in the position that no one wants to be in. The right thing to do is probably to play Minshew. However, you're going to have a $94 million backup on your bench. It's pretty rough. It's a pretty rough situation for Duval. It's not looking good. At 4-6, their season is coming to an end. They're going to have to win out. I don't see that at all. For the Colts, they have a huge game Thursday night. Jacoby Brissett, you can just see the difference between Brissett and Brian Hoyer. It's obviously huge. And the Colts, obviously with that win, they control their own destiny in the crazy AFC South division where no one knows what the heck is going on in that division. I think the Texans are going to win, but my guess is as good as yours in that division. Good win for the Colts. Have a big one coming up Thursday night. Going down to Miami, where the Bills absolutely obliterated the Dolphins, 37-20. John Brown for the Bills, two receiving touchdowns, tying his career high. Buffalo continues to beat up on the bad teams. They have a lot of bad teams on their schedule, and they seem to beat every single one of them. has all their wins, I'd say, except Tennessee, are against bad teams. But that's not the Bills' fault. You got to play who's on your schedule, and they've done a good job in doing so. John Brown breaking through the Dolphins' defense, just carving them apart. Josh Allen played well, extremely well. I don't think you're going to see the Bills score 37 points again this season. That's not the type of football they like to play, but hey, they'll take it. They'll definitely take it. Miami, they go back to their old losing ways, and we will see how they do against my Browns coming up. I don't think they will win, but it is very possible because the Browns always know how to brown. Going to Minnesota, where the Vikings completed a 20-point comeback, tying their fourth largest in franchise history as they knock off the Broncos 27-23. The Broncos, they just never fail to disappoint you. They just never fail. That's, I don't even know how many close losses that, I mean, it's a fourth one. They've had a lead in the fourth quarter and blew. Poor Broncos fans. Psych, I don't have any sympathy for Bronco fans. They've had their time. They've had their time. But, man. oh, man. Poor Denver. Poor Broncos. I don't know. I feel bad for Vic Fangio. I will say that. I feel bad for Vic Fangio. For Broncos fans, I don't. But for Vic Fangio, I do. Poor guy. He's likely to be a one-and-done coach. He just has no ability to relate with players. But that was a bad loss. That was a bad loss for the Broncos. Kirk Cousins doing well in that comeback win. A big win for Minnesota. They now go to the bye, 8-3. Totally alive to try to steal that NFC North from the Green Bay Packers. Moving on to Tampa Bay, where the Buccaneers were absolutely slacked by the Saints, 34-17. Michael Thomas is the first wide receiver with 90-plus receptions in the first 10 games of the season. Congratulations to the former Buckeye. Michael Thomas, in my opinion, should be in the MVP discussion. He is the best wide receiver in the National Football League right now. That is without debate, in my opinion. He is clear-cut the best receiver. And the rapport he's built with Breeze is phenomenal. The Saints offense, they bounced right back from the game in Atlanta against the Falcons, where every team has one of those, like, what the heck games. That was that for the Saints against the Falcons. But they bounced right back doing what they're supposed to do. And it was a big win for New Orleans. Going up to Tampa, Jameis Winston continues to turn the ball over. Can't not throw an interception to save his life. He's not the answer. Quarterback for Tampa Bay, it's time to move on next season to find a different quarterback down in Tampa Bay. Moving on to Tank Bowl, where the New York Jets beat the Washington Redskins 34-17. The Jets, by the way, are 3-1 versus NFC East teams this year, and they're 0-6 versus all other opponents. So that's an interesting statistic. Not much to take away. Dwayne Haskins looked brutal. He looked absolutely brutal against the Jets. Couldn't do anything in that game. Good to see Darius Geis back out on the field for the Redskins, but they're going to be bad for a long time. It is not a quick fix in Washington. They are going to be bad at least the next 2 years. It is a long fix for Washington. That is by far the least attractive coaching job this coaching carousel that will be available. It's the worst job out of the 32 that are there. It's just by far the worst. It's even worse than Cincinnati. We'll get to the Bengals later. But the Redskins, they just continue to disappoint. Haskins does not look like the answer quarterback. We'll see what they do with Haskins in the offseason if they decide to trade him, or if they continue to try to develop him to keep him as the Redskins quarterback of the future. For the Jets, not much to take away from this. Beat the Redskins, not a big accomplishment. All right, San Francisco now, where the Niners came back 36-26 over the Arizona Cardinals. The 49ers with 408 passing yards, most since week 13 of 1999. Now, they were got a nice scare. The Cardinals going up 16-0. Crazy. We were like, well, here we go again. But Jimmy G bared down. The Niners bared down. And they got a huge win to move them to 9-1. A big game coming up Sunday night versus the Packers. I will tell you who I think will win in the pick 'em segment. But the Niners, they got away with one. I think Kyle Shanahan will tell you that they got away with one against a putrid Arizona Cardinals team that I don't think will win another game this year. It took the final drive. It took the final drive to get them that win. I'm sure bettors out there are very upset about that last second touchdown for the Niners. As a fantasy football player who has the 49ers defense, I will not complain one bit. It helped me to secure a win. However, the 49ers, back to important things here, are the real deal. That comeback was huge for them, solidified them in first place in the NFC West, and I think they are the real deal. Kyle Shanahan, once they get Kittle back and get Sanders back fully healthy, they're going to be extremely difficult to stop. Moving across the bay to Oakland, where the Raiders beat the Bengals 17-10. Max Crosby with 4 sacks, most for an Oakland Raiders player since week 14 of 2015. For the Bengals, it's rough. It is rough. They might not win a game. They are bad. They are really, really bad. They are another team that it's going to be a long, long time before they are good again. A long time. For the Raiders, they did what they're supposed to do. I think Gruden would tell you they got away with one as well against Cincinnati, barely squeaking that one out. And the Raiders, they're in a good position. They're in a very good position. They got the Jets this week. They beat the Jets. That sets up a battle first place, Chiefs and the Raiders. A game that was flexed to 4:25 p.m. Eastern time, demoting the Browns-Steelers rematch to 1 o'clock. But a big win for the Raiders, nonetheless. Put them at 6-4, and they are in prime position to make some noise in the AFC. Off to Philadelphia, where the Eagles dropped one to New England, 17-10. 5 of the 6 last matchups between these two teams have been decided by one possession, including the playoffs, the Super Bowl, obviously. And the Eagles, that offense, yikes. You kind of feel bad for Carson Wentz. Louis Riddick, he works for ESPN, former front office guy, summed it up with one tweet perfectly. That fourth down throw by Carson Wentz summed up his season perfectly. A beautiful throw dropped by Nelson Aguilar. That catch has to be made. That has to be made. It just has to. And it cost the Eagles a football game. It cost the Eagles a football game. They're now 5-5. They have a tough one versus Seattle coming up. I will tell you how I think they will do in the pick 'em segment. For New England, they continue to roll on, do their thing. They go to 9-1 on the season. They will likely get the number one seed and clinch home field throughout the AFC. And Baltimore will have to go play up in New England. And I don't think they will go beat New England up in New England come playoff time. Sunday night football, the Rams and the Bears. The Rams win 17-10. Todd Gurley, the second for the Los Angeles Rams, had 133 scrimmage yards and a touchdown. That is not the story of this game, however. The story of the game, undoubtedly, is Mitchell Trubisky. I am off the Mitchell Trubisky bandwagon. I am jumping off of it, and I'm disappointed to jump off of it. But his play this year has just been bad. It's just been really, really bad. There's nothing to say. There's nothing you can say to defend it. And it really is, it sucks. Matt Nagy, I think, has done a poor job putting him in positions to try to get the best out of Mitchell Trubisky. The Bears season is over at 4-6. And unfortunate. It's unfortunate that a team with so much talent like the Chicago Bears have will not be in the playoffs. They have, in my opinion, the third best defense behind the Patriots and the 49ers. And it's just, it just stinks. It just stinks for Chicago fans. And we'll see if they have to draft a quarterback. That'll be very interesting if they have to draft a quarterback now. That is something I might think they have to consider. But they won't have their first round pick. So maybe they could take a chance on the Love guy from Utah State, who I like. I think he's going to be a good pro. That could be an interesting move. Or maybe they trade for Cam Newton. If they can get Cam Newton, I think that would be huge for the Chicago Bears. But a disappointing season for the Bears. They have probably been the biggest underachievers on the year. The Rams, a big win, keeps them in playoff contention going into Monday night next week. And finally, the Monday night game, where the Los Angeles Chargers dropped one to the Chiefs, 24-17. The Chiefs have won 10 of their last 11 games versus the Chargers. The story of the game has to be Phillip Rivers. And I've always been a Phillip Rivers guy, but for the last 3 years, I've always thought it was time to move on from Phil. He just has that squirt gun arm. He's in pain, it looks like, every time he throws it. And it's bad. It's bad for Phil. 4 interceptions. It's time to move on if you're the Los Angeles Chargers. It's time to move on. He's been a great servant for the Chargers franchise. He really has been amazing for them. And nothing but appreciation. He has the third most wins of any quarterback without winning a Super Bowl. So that shows you the great career Phillip Rivers has had. But time's up. Time's up for Phillip Rivers. And there's nothing wrong with that. Every player has their time. When time's up, they just got to move on. And for Phillip Rivers, that's got to be the case. I mean, it sucks. I've always been a Phil Rivers fan, but it's time to move on if you're the Los Angeles Chargers. For the Chiefs, big win puts them at 7-4 going into the bye, where they have that big game coming up versus the Oakland Raiders. Huge game, which pretty much will probably determine who wins the AFC West. And it's safe to say with Oakland's schedule, it's a cakewalk. So that game will probably determine, in my opinion, who wins that division. And the Chiefs, going into the bye, can get Tyreek Hill, healthy and rested up. We'll see how that goes and if he can play week 13 versus Oakland. And that will be a necessity, in my opinion, for them to have a chance to beat the Oakland Raiders. So that is week 11 of the National Football League in a nutshell for you. Get some college football talk in real quick. The playoff rankings were announced. LSU were 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Georgia 4. Bama remained 5. I have an issue with Bama remaining 5. Tua Tagovailoa, obviously out for the season with a hip injury. We wish him the best in his recovery, but I think due to that, Alabama has to drop. I think they have to drop below Utah, and I think they have to drop below Oregon and Oklahoma as well. I would have them at number 8, and I'd have Minnesota 9 and Penn State 10. That would be my rankings of the college football playoff. I agree with the top 4. LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Georgia 4. I agree with all that. Big game. Ohio State, Penn State, we will pick on pick-ems. But those are my top 10 rankings of the college football playoff. Some NBA as well. Carmelo Anthony getting his chance, signing with the Portland Trail Blazers. Happy for Carmelo. I've never been a big Carmelo guy like everyone else, but obviously he can play. I think it's a good deal for Portland, too. I've never understood why, if that's what he was willing to sign for, a team wouldn't take him on. I mean, he can still shoot the ball like crazy. He's one of the best scorers ever of all time. And he's going to give you jersey sales, no doubt about it. So you'll easily make up your money within jersey sales alone and ticket sales. And I think it's a good move for Portland. They've struggled mightily this year. They need a little bit of juice to reinvigorate the Portland Trailblazers. And I think Melo could provide that. I predicted the Blazers to miss the playoffs, by the way, to start the season. So that will be something to look out for. I still think they miss. But that signing by Melo, in my opinion, can only help them and not hurt them. The Lakers continue to play extremely well. LeBron, AD, that's going to work. Frank Vogel's done a phenomenal job, especially on the defensive end of the floor for the Los Angeles Lakers. They are going to be a force alongside the Clippers. I can't wait to see when Kawhi comes back, him and Paul George together, how dangerous that could be. It's going to be a battle between LA to see who goes to the NBA Finals, in my opinion. I still think the Lakers will take out the Clippers. But it will be very fun to watch. There's a lot of teams in contention right now. And it's great for the NBA. It really is to see all these teams that have a shot that can go all the way to win a championship. I think Houston has a chance. They're playing well. I think Denver has a chance. I worry that their coaching is going to hold them back. I like Utah. I don't know if they have the scoring to make noise necessarily in the playoffs. I like Dallas a lot, but I don't like the depth that Dallas has outside their starting five. I'm not a Hardaway Jr. fan. I like Dorian Finney-Smith a lot, but I just don't see the depth that they have outside of that. And in the East, I think Milwaukee, Boston obviously are playing great. Toronto has been unbelievable. Nick Nurse might be in Coach of the Year discussion. Philadelphia struggled a little bit, not surprising, as listeners here have known I've never been a Brett Brown fan, but I think they'll get it together ultimately because they have too much talent. They have too much talent to be this bad and be the fifth seed, so they'll get it together. I think they'll go all the way up to two behind Milwaukee. So that is your NBA and college football of the week. Let's get the pick-ems. I went 9-1 last week, only dropping the one where Minnesota lost to Iowa. First game, Penn State traveling to Ohio State. I think the Buckeyes will take that one and win it in dominant fashion. I think they will cement themselves and be back to number one on the college football playoff rankings. Nebraska and Maryland in a game we have to pick, unfortunately, due to Maryland being a local team. Nebraska will win because Maryland sucks at football. Georgia going up against Texas A&M. Georgia, I think, will win that game in comfortable fashion. Texas A&M, they've beaten all the teams they're supposed to beat. Their three losses are against Alabama, Auburn, and Clemson. So I think you know what's going to happen. When they play good teams, they lose. They're playing a good team in Georgia. They're going to lose. Baylor with a tough loss against Oklahoma last night. A brutal loss blowing that lead. Taking on Texas, I think they will bounce back and beat Texas. And a must-win for Baylor now. A crushing loss, probably ending their hopes. They got to win out. Even have a chance. I think they will beat Texas to keep their hopes alive. And lastly, the Battle of Los Angeles, UCLA and USC. I think the Trojans will take that. They have been sneaky good as of late. Clay Helton doing his best to try to save his job out in Southern California. I think USC will take that one from UCLA. NFL, big game Thursday night, Colts at the Texans. I think the Texans will win. I think the Colts not having Marlon Mack will hurt them and the running game. I think the Texans, angry off the pass interference call, will use it as motivation to try to beat the Colts, and I think they will be successful in doing so. Eagles hosting the Seahawks. I think the Eagles will win that one. I think the Eagles will win 27-21 in a very close game. I think the Eagles playing desperate right now. They need this one to try to stay only a game behind Dallas, and I think they will do so and win. And not only do I think there will be a game behind Dallas, I think there will be level with Dallas once Dallas loses to New England in a pick-em. I think the Patriots will take out the Dallas Cowboys in a game that will not be close. I will say 34-13 New England in an utter blowout. Sunday night, game of the week, 49ers and the Packers. I think the 49ers will win and win it in a close one, 24-21. I like the Niners to just squeak it out. That defense, I think, will make a big play down the stretch. And lastly, Monday Night Football, Baltimore Ravens traveling to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. I think the Rams will win that game, and Baltimore's hot streak and winning streak will stop at 6. This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and until next time, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.